Hello and welcome back, everybody, to the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast with me, your host, Leo Sowers, and the Liberty Dog himself, who's feeling a little bit under the weather, by the way, Gino. Before we get started with today's episode, I want to remind y'all that we have a store with mugs, laptop cases, other items like stickers and things like that. iPhone cases are on there as well, and it's at coffeebreakliberty.com. So if you go there, you can go find these awesome mugs and laptop cases, t-shirts as well. But there's also a promo code that I want you guys to go get. So when you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, you should get hit with a banner for a newsletter. Sign up for that newsletter and you will get the promo code for 10% off of your first order at coffeebreakliberty.com store. So go check it out. Go get yourself a mug. Be the first one on your block to have that mug. So in 5 years, when everybody's listening to this podcast, you can say, hey, you can be like a hipster, you know, oh, I was listening before, it was cool, and you've got the mug to prove it. Now, I'm going to dive into the show today. For those who don't know, I am in San Antonio, Texas, and of course, if you weren't living under a rock this last week, you saw that Texas got hit with the worst winter storm ever. Temperatures have been this low before, but never in combination with this stormy kind of situation. Never before in Texas history had we been hit with, you know, all this snow and ice and all that and these really, really low temperatures. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little tired of living through once in a lifetime or once in a first time type situations. And if you were paying attention to the news and all that, you saw that we lost a lot of power. Water was shut off. Millions of people were left without power. And the big question is, why did this happen? So we're going to talk about why this actually happened, and we're going to break it down real simply. So during the winter time, the capacity for Texas energy generation is 67,000 megawatts. I don't really know what a megawatt powers. I don't know what a kilowatt powers. I'm not going to get into all that. But 67,000 megawatts is the capacity in the winter time for Texas. In the summertime, it's 86,000. So the difference there is because during the winter, they take some of these energy producing facilities, whatever they may be, whether it's gas, coal, nuclear, wind, solar, hydro probably out there as well. They take some of these offline in the winter to perform maintenance on them. So already we're in a deficit compared to the summer. The reason they have it up in the summer, because in Texas, everybody's running their ACs in the summer, so they need more power. That's the thinking behind it. I'd have to imagine it's probably different in other parts of the country, other parts of the world. But then again, too, you have to think about the heaters in Texas. We don't use a lot of gas heaters. Most of them are electric. There are gas heaters, don't get me wrong. There are gas heaters here. But most houses, especially all the new ones, are using electric heaters, which aren't as efficient as gas. But we don't use heat that much, so you don't really see the payoff, except I guess this last week if you didn't have heat, you know, because you lost power, but you wouldn't really see the payoff of having a gas heater. That's beside the point though, right? By midweek in Wednesday, 46,000 megawatts of the 67,000 megawatt capacity were inoperable. 46,000 of the 67,000 capacity were inoperable. So there was only 21,000 megawatts available for the entire state. And to kind of give a broad overbrush of, you know, what's going on, these power-producing sources, right, these sources of power, the gas and the wind and the solar and all that, they just weren't built for winter weather like we have. They're not weatherized, would be the term. And a lot of people are getting upset, oh, why did this fail, because it's not built for this kind of stuff. We've never had weather like this down here before. Ever. So why would you build it to withstand that kind of treatment and abuse? You wouldn't. If you lived in Michigan, you wouldn't build your house to earthquake standards in California. You wouldn't do it. It would be foolish to do so. It would be counterproductive, more expensive, and probably really bad for your heating bill too. There are just things that you don't do. You don't plan and make plans for every natural disaster, especially when certain natural disasters have never happened in your area. That is the short and skinny of it. people are getting all upset blaming this. Oh, it's capitalism's fault. If you're blaming this on capitalism, get your head out of the sand. You sound ridiculous. It's capitalism's fault? Really? Explain that to somebody. Please, explain that to somebody that has higher than a fourth grade reading level, okay? It is not capitalism's fault that power grids and power and energy producers and energy production in the state of Texas are not built to weatherized standards. That has nothing to do with capitalism. So stop blaming it on something that you don't even understand, for those of you that do. And I doubt that's really anybody that listens to this podcast. It's just something that's grinding my gears lately because I've been seeing it everywhere. Oh, capitalism. And deregulation is another one they point to. Deregulation? The Texas power grid has never been federally regulated. Never. In 1938, I don't remember the name of the act, but it happened under FDR, and it may have been 1933. It was 38, 33. I can't really remember. That's not important. The U.S. was split into two power grids, Eastern and Western. And then Texas pretty much gave a middle finger to the federal government and said, nope, we're going to have our own power grid. You can't stop us. And that's what they did. So Texas has its own power grid. And as you can see, now that's a problem if you have a situation like this. So what does having a Western and Eastern power grid and then Texas on its own power grid, what happens? Like, what does that really mean, right? In California, let's say there's rolling blackouts, or let's say there's a power facility that goes down in California, but Nevada or Arizona is producing a lot more power. Well, you can redirect power to California to compensate for the power loss from that energy producing facility, right? That power source that went down in California. And then when it's back up, you know, you can transfer back. That's the benefit of having an interconnected grid between the states. Texas doesn't have that. But so one of the problems is when Texas loses power, like it did, it can't get power from other grids. It can't get power from other places. Mississippi was having issues with this storm as well, but they were, you know, because they're on the Eastern power grid, they can get power from other states. They can have power transferred to them. So that's also another, I don't want to say an issue, but that's just something that's going to happen when you're on your own power grid, like Texas is. If it goes down, you can't get power from other places, whereas these other states can. Then, though, the question really is, who's responsible for this? How did this happen? What was the failures? Well, we talked about the failures, right? This stuff just wasn't winterized. It was not designed for this. And demand was higher than it's probably ever been, or it's as high as it probably is in the summer. And the equipment just wasn't able to operate like it should in the winter, or like we would want it to, I should say, in the winter. So the demand was higher than it usually ever is, and they weren't producing enough. There you go. It's a simple question of math, right? Now, there is a lot of finger-pointing going on. You know, the governor is saying, oh, it's all this Green New Deal stuff. It has nothing to do with that. People on the left are blaming it on capitalism, deregulation. Nothing to do with that. If you're going to point it at one kind of government agency, you would point it at ERCOT. What does that stand for? It's ERCOT, Electric Reliability Council of Texas. That doesn't even roll off the tongue. Ugh, that's horrible. But it would be their job to, you know, ensure that things are getting weatherized and things like that. It kind of falls on them. Okay, it does. It falls on them. Like, they're going to be the ones that are going to be answerable to all this, right? They're going to have to answer all the tough questions. It is already coming down their way. It's not a good look when the two people that run this organization, it's a nonprofit, by the way, that is overwatched by the government. So the government watches this nonprofit that takes care of all this stuff, or is supposed to manage it, rather. So the two people that run it, one of them lives in Florida and one in California. It's a pretty bad look already when these two people that have clearly, you know, if they've screwed up, then they've screwed up, right? Let's just say that they messed up. They're not even feeling the brunt of it. They don't even see the effects of their shoddy work. But you may be on the side, well, no, they didn't really screw up. I mean, they did the best they could. You know, we're going to see more and more of this is going to come out. There is already being calls for investigations by the state government at the state government level. It would not surprise me if the federal government, because they love to, would get involved somehow as well. We'll see. But yeah, I'm going to kind of wrap this part of it up, you know. What was the main cause? Things weren't weatherized. They weren't designed for the weather that we had. That's the skinny of it. And honestly, why would you? Why would you design it for weather that we've never had down here before? Ever. And on a different note, don't do what Ted Cruz did. Well, if you do, don't get caught. And I say that jokingly, like, I really don't care. He's a federal politician. People seem to forget this. It's not like he runs the fire department down here in Texas or something. He's a federal politician. He did what anybody with money or time would have done and should have done and whatever, had they known it was going to be this bad. Get out of here. Oh, I've got a house somewhere else, or I can just go down to Mexico where the power supply is doing pretty well and just drink margaritas on the beach. Yeah, I'm going to Mexico. Granted, I couldn't go to Mexico. I had to work. And then that was that. But Ted Cruz, he went to Mexico or tried to. Whatever. I really don't care. Like I said, the memes about it are funny. People that are honestly upset about it are fools because he can't do anything. I will give props, though, to AOC. Last I read, she raised, I'm gonna mess up the number, but I want to say it was $2 million. I should have looked it up before I brought it up. But I know she was out there raising money for residents of Texas. So I'll give her props, man. I will give her props on that. She deserves a high five for that. I applaud you, AOC. The broken clock is right from time to time. Gonna move on to the second of three parts that I want to talk about in this podcast this week. Joe Biden, he's out there again just messing up, man. There's two things that he did this week that are just off the rails. Pretty much, if you're black or Latino, I don't know how you're listening to this. Some white person must have shown you how to do it, or at least that's the way Joe Biden thinks. Joe Biden, earlier this week, is on, I believe it was CNN, some town hall meeting or something, I don't know, where they're throwing softball questions to this guy, and he's still dropping the ball. He's still showing you how much of an old school racist he is. And I don't, when I say he's a racist, I don't mean he's like some Klan member with a hoodie. I don't know. I'm not saying that. I think he's more just the old school racist of, well, I don't think, he believes pretty much all black people and all people of color are poor, maybe dumb. You know, he can't fathom that. Maybe they're not dumb. Maybe they're not poor. Maybe some people of color, maybe a lot of people of color are successful. It just seems to boggle his mind. I'm sure when he met Obama, he had to tell somebody, you know, he had to tell Obama that he's got another black friend. He's one of those kind of people, right? Like, he's just some goofy old, I mean, the guy's almost 80. Of course he's racist. And like I said, I'm not saying he's a Klan member or anything like that. He just thinks people of color aren't as intelligent. I mean, he's said that before. He doesn't think people of color are as intelligent as white people. He said it years ago, but he's just old school, goofy, racist, almost 80 years old. You know, like I said, I don't think it's from an evil, hateful place. He's just dumb. He is dumb. Anyways. So there was that with the racist remarks. Like I said, if you're black and Latino or person of color, I don't know how you're listening to this. Thank your white friend for showing you how to do it, I guess. Oh, man. Joe Biden's on a roll with that stuff. He had another one, though, another gaffe this week that was kind of big. And we talked about it a little last week, and I've talked about it before in the blog. And it was about China. And this was about the, and I'll know I'll mispronounce it, the Uyghur Muslims. They're pretty much Chinese Muslims, but it's a certain, ethnic group in China, and they're Muslims. And they're being rounded up by the millions, if you are unaware. I haven't talked about that, but I have talked about some of the atrocities that China has done, especially to Hong Kong. Joe Biden's response to another one of these softball questions on CNN. I don't know why they put this guy, like, if he does not have a teleprompter, it's insane. He's really bad without a teleprompter. Because, you know, part of it, he's just so old and goofy. He doesn't know, and he's dumb. But when he was asked about something relating to that, in short, he called the rounding up of these Muslims by the millions, just cultural norms. Cultural norms. Rounding up an ethnic group. Goodness. I don't think he's evil, if that makes sense. I think he's just dumb. The guy's, he's just old and dumb. You know, you can look back at the way he's talked. And even, you know, even back in the 80s and the 90s, go listen to speeches of him back then, even when he was younger and he wasn't so scatterbrained as he is now. The guy's just not smart. It's very lowbrow stuff. I mean, he's a, I don't know, one person from Delaware is going to listen to this and be upset. But he's a senator from Delaware, which automatically makes him corrupt. For those who don't know, if you're a senator or pretty much any federal politician in Delaware, you're in the pocket of the DuPont family. Just so you all understand how Delawarean politics in Delaware works. That's how it works. You have to be in the pocket of DuPont. He's just a dumb guy. And, you know, great. He's the president. Thinks people of color are dumb and can't get on the internet. Oh, and that was over finding COVID shots, by the way. And he thinks rounding up ethnic groups in China, that's a cultural norm for them. I don't think he's like evil, you know, but he's so just dim-witted that, you know, evil things can be done with, you know, he can sign and do some evil stuff, but he's so dim-witted, he doesn't know. He doesn't get this stuff. All right, I'm done ragging on Joe Biden right now. I'm going to bring up one last thing. There was a chart from the Fed that came out. That's the St. Louis Federal Reserve. And if you've never been on that website, I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm a nerd and I get into economics and things like that. And I've actually used it in some of my papers before and some of my blog posts. You can get on there and find loads of information, loads of statistics, loads of stuff. One of my blog posts, which started out as a paper years ago, I used that heavily comparing employment rates among women in different countries that had mandatory maternity leave for women. And you could, I won't get into all of that. I'll post a blog post in the show notes, along with some other things about the Texas thing and whatever in the show notes. But that's just an example of the vastness of the information available on the St. Louis Federal Reserve website, of all things, right? So one of the things that's on there is how much money, in short, I'm paraphrasing, how many dollars are created per year. Last year, 2020, 23.6% of all dollars ever created were created in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is an issue. We all knew it was a lot. I wrote about it a little bit during 2020. I tweeted about it, you know, when they started just printing trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. Now, it's not necessarily in the economy, so the inflation rate is skewed, right? If you create 23.6, you know, percent of the dollars ever created and you throw it right into the pockets of everybody, that's going to cause massive, you know, that's going to cause a disaster. That's going to be huge. Where they threw it into the stock market to prop up the stock market. So it's kind of not in the economy, right? It's not in people's pockets. It's in the stock market. And for those who've never heard it before, and this may be the first time, the stock market is not the economy. It is not even a good representation of the economy, because you saw the stock market going up last year. The only reason it was going up is because they were throwing dollars at it. There was no reason with 40 million people unemployed should the stock market have been rising, but it was, and it did. If you've never heard it before, I'm telling you now for the first time, the stock market is not a representation of the economy. And if somebody ever tells you that it is, just remember that. Point that out to them. I want you to remember that for those that have, you know, maybe you'll hear that later on. Someone say, oh, well, the stock market, and they'll try and, you know, tell you the stock market is the economy. Say, hey, in 2020, 40 million people were unemployed and the stock market was rising because they were just throwing money at it. We've talked about quantitative easing in the blogs before. That's pretty much all it was. That's what Janet Yellen has pretty much promised she'll do forever if she had it her way. Heck, years ago, she said there's no reason to have any more recessions ever again. which means we're just going to print money like they did in 2020 and throw it into the stock market. But that doesn't get 40 million people off of unemployment. Goodness, these people, they're out of touch with reality. So that happened, that came out, that data came out, I suppose, just last week. It was brought to my attention 2 days ago. So I wanted to talk about that if you've seen it floating around. 23.6% of all dollars ever created were created last year, but they are not really in the economy. It's in the stock market. If it just got dumped straight into the economy and it was, as some people have termed it, helicopter money, we'd see issues. We would see huge issues, but we see it in the stock market. So unless everybody pulls out their stocks right now and cashes them in for dollars, it's kind of in this gray area, right? Where it just doesn't make sense because the stock market can be irrational forever, as we're seeing. It just seems to cease being irrational now. 40 million people were unemployed last year. Stock market kept rising. Makes no sense. No sense whatsoever. I mean, until you look at the fact that they printed $9 trillion and just dumped it in. Well, I say they printed it. It was all with a few keystrokes. Yeah, $9 trillion. Boom. Put it in the stock market. There you go. This is going to be a problem eventually, people. It's going to be a problem. When it does, be prepared, because it's going to be bigger than anything we've ever seen. It's going to make 2008, it's going to make that look like a joke. I mean, heck, if you guys don't remember, we lost 30%. 30% of the stock market lost its value in a week in 2020. A week. That just shows you how volatile the stock market is and how much it's already propped up, right? Gosh, it makes me wish I had a podcast back then. I was only typing this stuff out. So it took me a little bit longer to get it out. This is not a good sign, people. I just want you to be aware of that. I'm not trying to be a doomer here. I just want you to know. You got to be prepared. You got to know what's coming. Austrian business cycle. It never fails. It never will, especially when you got things like the Fed involved. My goodness, that just proves it. If you ever wanted evidence to try and disprove it, you'd have to get rid of the Fed, but that's not happening. And you're never going to disprove the Austrian business cycle because it's the only thing that makes sense. They were the only ones that predicted 2008. They're the only ones that can explain what happened in 2008. Nothing else explains what happened in 2008. And nothing else is going to explain this next one, except for the Austrian business cycle. That's what happened that first week, that week of COVID, when we lost 30% of the stock market and things were looking bad. So what did they do? They had to, well, we can't. That was the Austrian business cycle in motion. That's what was happening. I didn't mean to spend so much time on this, but that's what was happening. The Austrian business cycle, we were seeing it happen, right? So much credit, so much money put into just obscure things where the market didn't, where it didn't need to be, right? That's pretty much the idea. Money goes into places where it shouldn't be. And then eventually there's just a crunch and it's like, okay, we need to put money where it needs to actually go now. That's what was going on. Money was, everything was inflated. Everything was overvalued. That's why we lost 30% in a week. That's what was happening. So to counter that, that's when the Fed and the, you know, Trump and all of them got together and said, ah, we'll fix this by printing $9 trillion. Yeah, you stopped it. Good job. You stopped a correction to make it worse the next time, because that's what happens. Oh, that's all they did. Not, they didn't just kick the can down the road. They made it worse for the next time, because it's going to be worse next time. It always is. These crashes are worse every time. That's what happens when you prop it up with fake money and quantitative easing. Oh, like I said, didn't mean to get off on the rails on that one. I have a lot to put in the show notes page for this one. You know, I got to think about it. Quantitative easing now. Austrian business cycle theory, which I've written about on here too. So much. But it's going to be a good episode, and I hope you guys really enjoyed it. Getting ready to sign off, but I want to tell you guys about the affiliate program that I'm a part of. If you want to start a website, you should use my affiliate program with Bluehost. Who's Bluehost, you might ask? Well, they are the people that host my website and your favorite podcast, the Coffee Break Liberty podcast. You know, with your host, me, Leo Sowers. If you go to coffeebreakliberty.com/affiliate, you will see a link to Bluehost on my site. You click on that link, you sign up, you get yourself a website at a discounted rate, by the way. You make your business, make your podcast, make your own blog, whatever you want to do with it. Tell me about it. Show me that you got it through my affiliate. I'll know that you got it through the affiliate. And when you tell me about it, I'll give you a plug not only on the podcast, on the blog, on the Facebook page, on my Instagram, my personal page. I mean, that's going to reach almost 3,000 people right there. That's free publicity. I call it the Tom Woods deal because that's the first place I heard it. And that's where I got my website, was from Tom Woods. But don't get yours from Tom Woods. Get yours from mine, you know. Tom's doing all right. Leo Sowers, though, he could, you know, the Coffee Break Liberty podcast and Gino, the Liberty dog himself, could use a couple bucks, you know, with the affiliate program. Hey, just giving you all a hard time. But if you're going to start a website, and I think you all should, I would suggest checking out Bluehost, use my link, get a discount when you do it, and free publicity. With that, I'm going to sign off. Thankfully, it's a lot warmer here in Texas already by the time I'm recording this. We're going to be in the 70s tomorrow as opposed to 12 degrees like 3 days ago. Perfect flu weather, right? Anyways, hope you all have a great week. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.